raised when you wanted to show your support or agreement with something, you'd say amen in the church service. And then I learned that that's fine, and all you're saying is, it is so. Okay, so there's a truth being said, it is so. By saying it is so, you are not adding your agreement to it. You are recognizing that it's true. Okay? Recognition doesn't have power. Agreement has power. So the next level, and it's a process, and the process is having progress. The next level is to say, I agree. You are adding, you are entering into an agreement, and since many agreements are based on covenant, you are putting yourself into the position of being in covenant, an agreement with a covenant, of which is in Scripture. There's, you know, a variety of covenants in Scripture. You can think of the Old Testament really is the first covenant, not old, because it's still in force, but first covenant, and New Testament is the second covenant. So the Lord showed me recently, and I guess it was yesterday or day before, that there's a third level. Because when you say, I agree, you're not asking for it. You're just saying, I agree. But this truth that's being presented, and you know you want that truth in your life, you've got to ask for it. And by faith, you can say, I receive that. And so now you're making a demand upon the faithfulness of God in that covenant so that you can receive what is being spoken about. So in the first of amen, there's support, and the speaker, and having been a speaker before, the speaker feels, oh, goody. You
know, yeah, he's empowered to continue.
Yeah. But then when you say, I agree, you're starting to participate. But when you say, I receive it, now it's impacting you. Nothing before that, of the words that we spoke, actually impacts you. So having the, I receive that, you're reaching out, you're making a demand on it, and the Lord will fill that demand, and you will receive what that truth is that's being spoken. So that's the first part.
Can we just take it one step?
Sure.
Because you see, you can receive this word right now.
Right.
And it's information. Information is logged into your memory bank as something that could be available if you decide. What I've learned is if you will lead us into a prayer together, as you would give a diagram. That diagram now becomes a reality for you if you decide to carry it to the next level, when you decide to confess it. So I'm asking, with that information that you have, which is really good, the amen is a good thing, the I agree is a good thing, but I receive will take you, like you said, into that covenant. So would it be okay to have you lead us in a prayer that would give us a diagram?
The Holy Spirit can do what he wants.
Would you mind?
I don't know how to do that right now, but wonderful.
Do it.
Father, we come before you right now.
Amen. Agreed.
And Lord, as we hear the truth, and there is so much truth, in fact, Lord, I now understand your truth is surrounding us. That I just don't want to encourage the speaker with an amen. Lord, I want to be in and with you in whatever it is that you are doing. And therefore, I also don't want to come out of a message or a service in the same way and manner in which I entered it.
I agree.
I agree.
Lord, there can be waste of words, waste of time, but we know that the Spirit is where the change occurs. Information can enter my head, and that can be worthless, Lord God, because it just gives me information, more information to reason. And I am done with reasoning. My reasoning, I want my reasoning to be over. I want your reasoning with the mind of Christ to enter in. I want anointed, holy, consecrated reasoning. Because things will change as I think what you're thinking, as I adopt and adapt your ways and your nature and your very heart.
Lord, we believe. Lord, we believe. All things are possible. Lord, we believe. Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe. All things are possible. Lord, I believe. Lord, I receive. Lord, I receive. Lord, I receive. All things are possible. Lord, I receive. Lord, I receive. Lord, I receive. All things are possible. Lord, I
receive, we truly become partnering with you, for we are your feet, we are your hands on this earth. And I thank you, Lord, I praise you, and I expect, as truth is presented, that all those hearing my voice will be able to receive that truth, and our lives shall be changed. That change shall include works that you did when you were here physically on the earth, and moreover, greater works than these, because we've been changed into you in and through us. Thank you, Lord. Okay, now this is a little instruction. So, Lord, help us right now to understand. So, repeat after me. Lord, I do have eyes that see.
Lord, amen. I do have eyes that see.
And I have ears that hear.
I have ears that hear.
And I have a spirit that wants to understand.
And I have a spirit that wants to understand.
So I ask Holy Spirit.
So I ask Holy Spirit.
To take the truth presented.
Take the truth presented.
Filter out the fluff.
Filter out the fluff.
And sear the truth into my spirit.
And sear the truth into my spirit.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
So this week I have been pursuing part of what I believe is in my scroll. And when I did the research and the data search, etc., on my name, it came out that my name means to reveal light and truth to the body. I have quizzed the Lord with, and when I say quiz, it is quizzical questions. Lord, what about, I mean, truth, I get the truth, you know. I understand you're the truth, and I understand that I've already been used in that, and I'm going to be used in greater ways, I expect, with truth into the body. What is exposing the light? What does that mean, exposing the light into the body? So he's having in Genesis, as you all know, and the updates of the week for that, for example, are things like, and Lord help me here, but how far to go here. There are two types of darkness. No. There are at least two types of darkness. One which is absence of light, which we have been taught that's what darkness is. You turn the lights off and you're in darkness. And when we think of darkness that way, we limit our understanding of the Word of God, because that is only a sensual darkness. Our eyes now don't see, so it's darkness. But even as there's different types of light, there's different types of darkness. One darkness is the darkness that happens when the presence of the Lord is removed. The darkness that the enemy fell into when he fell from heaven, he was now removed from the presence of the throne of God and of God. And therefore, the bright shining star, he's talking about a morning star, that controlled or managed the praise and worship in heaven, when he fell, he lost proximity to the throne of God and to God himself. And that's why what was once described as shining, actually Lucifer means the shining one, he's now been put into darkness. Not darkness of absence of visual light, but darkness that is a removal from God's presence. And then there's a darkness that God creates. And in Genesis 1, 2, and 3, when he separates the light from the darkness, that darkness is not absence of light. He's separating the light that he just commanded, light be, or light exist, and then he separates that from the darkness that he also created. I was going to go on a couple things that we shared, but I'm not being led that direction right now.
Okay.
For clarity purposes. So, as I listen to scientific discoveries and understanding about the atom and things like that, I praise you, Lord. Because what's happening is I can listen, and if you do a web search on construction or nature of the atom or nature of reality, those type of things, you will get an ocean of responses. You know, you'll get hundreds of thousands, millions of hits, depending on what you're searching on. And like someone said, you know, the internet is an ocean wide and 3 foot deep. You know, before you had to pull out a credit card. So even on YouTube, I'm listening to lectures and different things being done by different, quote unquote, renowned professors and whatnot, and researchers and discovery. And I praise the Lord because the Holy Spirit is in an active monologue, not discussion, but monologue with me, where they're talking and I will feel myself, that's a lie. That's okay. You know, as they're talking, every sentence, that's truth. That's okay, that's a lie, don't believe that. And if you listen closely, then what the Holy Spirit also says is, that's a lie because. which is a different level, is not just identifying the lie, it's identifying the reason that the lie is a lie. Keeping in mind that our enemy, that Satan, is the great copycat. Okay? He likes to copy things that the Lord creates. He does not have the ability to create, but he likes to copy things. So, one of the things this week is researching about photons. Photons is the particle that at times exhibits itself as a wave and sometimes as a particle. And this is a key thing. As they have done research, they find out, which turns their heads upside down, that the properties of the photon change based upon the expectations of the researcher. And you're going to have two separate ones, and they're connected. So you tell this photon to have these properties, and that one over there adopts the exact same property. How is that possible? They're in constant communication. Why? Because in every particle of creation, there is a component that came from Father God. There's a component of life that came from the river of life from his throne. Now, for ages, as it were, the space between us, they tried to identify what is space. Aristotle said, well, it's a vacuum. Other people thought, well, it's actually a vacuum, then wouldn't things just kind of, go everywhere because there's nothing holding things together? And then several hundred or a thousand years later, they start to disprove that thought that Aristotle was wrong, it's not a vacuum, and they progress and progress and progress. And then there was a time period, and now I'm late 1800s, early 1900s, that they gave it a name called ether, A-E-T-H-E-R. They couldn't tell you what it was, but they could tell you that there's something there. Okay. Now we fast forward, and they've been able to produce a vacuum and prove that light will go through the vacuum, but sound won't. So sound waves do not exist in a vacuum, but light does. Why is that important? One reason, it's been taught that every word that comes out of your mouth, once it's out of your mouth, it goes into the atmosphere, through the heavens, and out into what we call outer space, and could never be retracted. If space was a vacuum, then that sound would stop. So now they understand that we used to believe that there are three parts of an atom, a nucleus, a proton, a neutron, a proton, electron. They have now identified over 200 different subatomic particles. Why is that important? It's important because in everything that we look at in creation, we should be awed by the diversity of God's creation. He loves diversity. That's why none of us are the same. That's why each one of us have a frequency that we emit. That frequency came from Father. When we came out of his heart,
yeah,
we were given a frequency so that whenever we pray, whatever it is, that frequency can be heard in heaven and identified to the exact person that it came from. We also have a unique aroma.
Uh-huh.
When we praise, it releases a perfume, it releases an aroma. Now they've identified, for example, going deeper and deeper, they look in you have those three basic components of the atom, and then you look deeper, and you've got deuterium, you've got all different types of particles. And these particles are now well below what we can see, even with the best magnifying equipment. And so as I move my hand from where it is over to Anne, I am going through space, but now we know that that space is fully occupied. It's occupied with subatomic particles that are coming into existence and going out of existence millions of times for every cubic centimeter. So at the top of my fingertip, as I move, I'm going through millions of reactions that are happening. Creation and squelching continuously all around us. And I thank God that that is small enough that we can't see it, because first of all, the energy would be a problem, but we wouldn't be able to see anybody because it's so full. And that's why when they start to go beyond our solar system, they're realizing that, hey, you know, there's density out here. That means it's not a vacuum, which again eliminates so many. I mean, you know, you think about evolution, you think about the Big Bang Theory and things like that. It has been disproved so many times that the only thing you're left with to the objective observer is to say the people that still want to hold those views, to them it is a religion. And something that's interesting tracking in the history of science, as it were, now keep in mind, science can be a religion, but it's not what it was designed for. Science was a gift from God so that we would examine, we would become, have dominion in the earth, examine, understand it, understand creation, because when you examine it, you see God in everything. And he wants to display that. They say science explains away God, but more and more and more, science is now proving the existence. The hard-hearted people are saying, well, I'm not going to call it God, but we know there's something there. Okay? All right, so they're still, you know, following the religion, as it were. When they start to talk about their beliefs, for example, carbon dating. We have a fossil, we have rock. Well, we know the rock is 14 million years old, and therefore the fossil is 14 million years old. That's a belief. The way it's designed, the way the experiment is designed, is with presuppositions already in the experiment. When you examine the actual things that are going on, they're just fooling themselves. So the most incredible thing I learned this week, and I go back to Susan Lamara in 2017 or 18, I don't remember which right now.
Not sure.
That she talked about the answer for energy in the earth. It's already in the earth. It's in the earth. It's in the air.
Yeah.
Etc. That was part of her word. She was talking about that the Lord impressed her to go to where Nikola Tesla is buried.
Right.
In Rochester, maybe?
Yep.
And
pray over that area.
Pray over that area.
Yeah.
And then things started to be revealed. And she said, Lord, what's going on? And he said, don't you remember your prayer? You asked that things be revealed, and so things are being revealed in the energy area. And now it's been measured that if you think of that one cubic centimeter has the untapped energy in every cubic centimeter of our sun. Okay? The sun that's warming our solar system, the sun that all the solar panels are trying to encapsulate and all that. So between Ann and I, there's, you know, between my fingertip and that sweater, there's two suns. Okay, three suns, four suns, five suns, six suns, seven suns, eight suns. It's just, it blows the mind if you try to think about it. To me, what it is every time we can see more of what he created, I am further awed at who our God is. It's just, it's beyond, you know, certainly it's beyond our mind. The other thing this week is starting to get into thinking about dimensions beyond four dimensions. The Bible talks about creation, that the Lord put up the atmosphere like a canvas. He stretched the heavens. And that reference, stretched the heavens, happens 8 or 9 times in Scripture. And in Revelation, it talks about he's going to consummate all things and fold up the heavens. So if you have a piece of paper, it's in two dimensions. How do you fold it? Well, you fold it over like this, and you now give it thickness, so you're now in three dimensions. You always need one more dimension than you have to be able to fold something. The fourth dimension is time itself. There are these other dimensions that we don't know that the Lord is starting to give me some hints on. And I'm seeing that, for example, all these subatomic particles are waiting for the voice of the Lord, for something that is complementary to his frequency to become the properties that you're speaking into them. So materials will change. Creative order. You break your leg. You speak to that leg. What you are telling it is, Lord, I agree with you. I'm uttering out of my mouth words of agreement. And in the frequency that is complementary to the frequency of God, so that the created order goes to work in agreement with your words. Now, I am in no way trying to belittle the wonder of God. Can't do that. That's impossible. In my mind, that's impossible. But to understand that when he created the heavens and the earth, and he said, light be, he created multiple more dimensions than we now see. Before the fall, Adam understood those additional dimensions, and that's how he could create as he left the Garden of Eden, because the garden had order, but moving out from there, he was going to be bringing order into chaos in areas that are outside the garden. He was speaking the word, and the word has authority. The word has authority not only here on this earth, but also in heaven. The words that we speak are really important. So instead of saying amen, saying I receive that changes everything.
No, you can hold on to it.
Uh-oh.
I want you to reach over and put your hands on his shoulders. Don't go by the back. All of you just lift your hands towards him. Say, Lord, we not only receive, but now we're going to impart that this man is about to start in a place in heaven that's been prepared for him. And it's been prophesied that he will have the revelation that's needed for this generation. And we give you the praise right now. That there is no weapon that is formed against him.
That there is no weapon that is formed against him.
That will prosper.
That will prosper.
We shut down the darkness.
We shut down the darkness.
And we call forth the light.
We call forth the light.
The invisible light.
The invisible light.
That the natural eye cannot see.
That the natural eye cannot see.
But the Holy Spirit in him.
But the Holy Spirit in him.
And the Holy Spirit in me.
And the Holy Spirit in me.
Are confirming the new day.
Are confirming the new day.
Right now.
Right now.
I anoint your ears, my brother, that not only will the hearing, but the clarity will manifest, that your ears will hear every word, and it will register in your heart, and the confirmations will come forth out of your mouth. All the restrictions, all of the all the restrictions, all of the diabolical restrictions that have been held against you are canceled this day. In Jesus' name I pray. In Jesus' name I pray. I decree that you have just begun to live. You thought you were getting ready to transport into new places. I've got news for you, my son. You are just about now on the threshold of that new beginning that you've asked for. And that threshold will be visible to you spiritually and physically. For your eyes are open, I say. Your eyes are open, I say. Your eyes are open, I say. In Jesus' name. Not do I pray, but I declare they're open in Jesus' name.
We agree.
Yes.
Any additions?
I have two.
Well, you can't deposit from there.
I was praying and interceding, and I had gotten two visions for you on the 24th. They happened at around 9 p.m. I believe that these visions are confirmations that you have been set free in Jesus' name, that the darkness indeed has been trying to attack you, but greater is our King, and that destruction will stop in the name of Jesus. And that you will be walking into that victory. I saw a house of prayer. I saw a Glock, and it was a 9mm. What was interesting about this Glock is that it was left-handed. It had a left-handed ejection, and it was all black, and it was on top of the glass altar at house of prayer. John, you were at house of prayer. You were seated, and you saw the Glock on the table, and you were asking me what I saw. And I told you, I see a Glock, and it was on the table. And I asked the Lord, why would I see this, and why is it connected to you? The Lord told me that you were right-handed, and that the ejection could hit you in the face. And I believed that it was the spirit of darkness and the spirit of suicide that was trying to attack you and to discourage you. So I interceded, and the Lord said not to say anything, and that the time would be when that spirit would be revealed. The second vision I got afterwards, as I was interceding at 9, was I saw black mire. It was black tar and mire that was on the floor in a large area. And I saw that there was a person whose ankles were knee-deep in it and covered. The Lord said that this was depression, and that the person was being lifted and removed from that. And both victories are yours.
I receive it.
I want to hear it.
I receive it.
Amen. For this was given to me to impart his garments. And now, releasing all of the old, flushing it away. Flushing it away by the blood of Jesus. And releasing now the new and the bright. The bright and shining morning star, which is Christ himself within you, lifting you higher than you've ever lifted before, knowing that the destiny that was the destiny that was written in your book will manifest on time. It will not be late, says the Lord. It will not be late. In Jesus' name, I pray.
So while you were praying for me, it was confirmed I was supposed to share this also. Why does the world think that there is a new president? It is an expression. And to receive this, you have to hear the full thing, so don't close your ears. It is an expression of Father's love to us. You might say, but John, you've called him counterfeit, etc. Yes, that's true. But listen now. Those that had the opportunity to hear Johnny Enlow yesterday brought this up. But the new dimension of it is what motivates it. God is not willing to share his glory with any man. We know this. But God is also no longer willing to allow the church of God, the body that is his body, to not know him and see him as he is. We had put so much effort and prayer into praying for something that we then reasoned would happen through various pathways, that if the Lord allowed that to happen in any of those pathways, we would have a distorted view of who he is. And in fact, has not the enemy already come in to many of those prophets and churches, etc., that said, we didn't pray enough. We didn't repent enough. We didn't seek his face enough. We did not do the works required according to the formula enough. And our Lord God is not about works. The works of the flesh, we would then say, okay, if something happened on January 20th, and everybody on that podium were arrested, and Trump was sitting in that chair, which I believe in the spirit he truly is still there. But the rest of the world could see that. The church would say, aha, we know what we have to do now. We want to ask now for release for China. Now, someone in China, one of the Christian leaders in China, said there were 60 million or 80 million Chinese praying for our elections. And there are 10 million Americans, and there are 10 million around the rest of the world. So if the Lord allowed that to occur in the way that we thought it should happen, and the way that we expected it to be, we would then be able to plan out God's purposes and plans. Okay, so it takes 100 million people praying, Lord, in order to equate to one election for a president. Okay, now we have a problem. We wanted to get the Chinese people free. Well, how many do we need for this one? And it all goes back to that tree of knowledge of good and evil, and it rests on the dead lie root of works for salvation. And I can tell you, from the heart of God, there is nothing that you can do to gain salvation. Nothing that you can do to gain salvation. For as a loving father, why would I have sent my only begotten son to the cross if anything but his blood would purchase salvation? That would not be a loving father. So the reason we are where we are right now in this nation, we do have a pretend counterfeit administration, because anything based on lawlessness and illegitimacy is not true. But the Lord has had to wait for the hope in pathways of our own reasoning to be exhausted, so that everyone will be able to say, Lord, nobody but you. There's no one but you, Lord, that could have done this. You have done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. For truly, truly, there is no one like you. No one like you. I could search the world over and find no one like you. Lord, I intercede right now for all of those people that have accepted you as Lord and Savior, but still do not understand that they cannot reason with their own natural minds you out.
Amen.
Even last night, Lord, speaking to, or listening to, I don't remember who it was, but someone on TV, Christian TV, and I hear my spirit, the Holy Spirit, say to me, there's a soulless Christian. Because they got it all worked out in their own reasoning. And if you can work the Lord of the universe, the one who holds all things together, if you can reason that out, you are making yourself like God. And we can examine the five wills, as it were, of what Satan said before he fell. I will arise. I will shine. I will be like the Most High God. If we can reason God out, then God's ways are not higher than our ways. So again, we need to put our reasoning in the natural mind and soul at the foot of the cross and walk away. The Lord says you are to be a living sacrifice. We are still alive. In fact, we are more alive than we've ever been because we are now living. If you have accepted the Lord as your personal Savior and your spirit has been renewed, you are now living in eternity. Part of the living sacrifice, day in, day out sacrifice, is to listen and hear when our reasoning mind, our natural mind, starts to try to figure things out for God, and to have the integrity and strength of spirit to say, stop. Shut that thing down, shut it up, repent, and get rid of that reasoning. Because reasoning God out does not lead to life. The word doesn't say, I came that you may have life and that you may be able to reason me out. It doesn't say that. It says that you have my life and more abundantly, and life more abundantly. And there's life only in one place. And without him, there is no life.